member of WildGamesProductions.com and D20Radio.com.
Products of your imagination.
You burst through the door, you find a small room filled with golden jewels. And a red dragon.
Products of your imagination.
And a red dragon. And a red dragon.
Products
he starts to breathe. Save or die!
Raise them up, raise them up. Zombies all around me, I be hacking them all up.
Products of your imagination.
I be hacking them all up. There's zombies all around me.
Welcome to the Save or Die Podcast, a podcast about classical Dungeons & Dragons. If it's in a box, we'll talk about it.
The Save or Die Podcast Adventure number 36. We're back this week again.
Hi, people.
That was GM Glenn, or DM Glenn, I should say. Yeah, sorry about that. And I'm DM.
It's the system neutral D&D, basic D&D podcast.
Yes, coming to you live, GM. Crispy, as usual. And everybody's favorite, Liz and Mike.
Yay! We are a gestalt entity.
Yes.
They're not together. Just Liz and Mike. Liz and Mike.
Liz and Mike.
Two brains that act as one.
There's no N. There's an actual just a letter N in between your names. Liz and Mike.
Liz and Mike.
Liz and Mike. Wow, that's a weird name. So, gaming this
week.
We're
weird people.
Yeah. Gaming. Yep. Starting with, we'll start with Mike this week.
Taco. I don't know.
Okay. Great. You played a game of tacos.
I've not done any basic other than looking over Holmes 77,
which will be
this week.
Yeah.
We were going to be gaming last week, my new Zero D&D Labyrinth Lord kind of game, which is what I imported my 1E game from.
Right.
But people had a brain fart and nobody actually showed. Well, one person actually showed up on the Skype, so we're.
This sounds familiar.
This next Thursday.
Is this the same game that I started in with you that I had to leave?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's still going on. I just decided I want something simpler for rules.
Because Mike doesn't want to have to think.
And we've moved to Thursday, so if you really want to come back, it's a different night now.
Well, yeah, he's got a Thursday game, I think, don't you?
Thursday must be the happening day, night.
Yeah.
Well, Thursday is actually going to, as Crispy and I were talking, bringing back Book of Sorrows eventually, so.
Oh, wow.
We've got to keep that open.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your character can make a guest appearance once in a while, Mike.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be cool. Erwin Returns.
Erwin Returns, yeah. So, Liz, you've been involved in anything?
To me?
Yeah, you're the only one named Liz back there, aren't you?
Liz Mike.
Yes, but we're the gestalt entities, so...
Fine. How
basically...
about Mike and Liz? How
so
about
why aren't you talking together?
Yes.
They're like Mike and Ike's, but considerably...
Would you like us to call you Beth instead?
No, that's fine.
That's she fine. Loves that.
Beth? Oh, okay. Thanks, Beth. Anyway, off to Glenn.
Oh, me? I played Chimichangas. No, I didn't play Chimichangas. Oh, I was going to play a Crispy game, but like Mike's game, hardly anybody showed up.
It was very short notice, though. I'm just like, you know what? I want to play.
Yeah, well, Brian was supposed to be in it. They just corralled me because I happened to be around, and nobody showed up. So Crispy goes, well, let's do Thaco's Hammer. So we did a Thaco's Hammer. And let's see. I'm still waiting for the rest of my Marvel superheroes to get here so I can get the grandkids up and running in superheroes. I got the Judges book.
Which is odd that only one of the books came, but anyway.
Yeah. Three books, one of which came. Maybe today. Who knows?
Maybe.
And that's about it.
Crispix?
I crayon dice for the first time.
Woohoo!
So,
they won't let you use anything sharp or what?
Well, like I had my venture into inking dice. No gaming, but I don't know what everyone was complaining about. It's not that hard.
It's not.
Kinda tedious.
No, it's not, really.
Weren't you tell us you need the really bad crayons to do that?
Yes, you need really bad crayons to do it, though, because from what I've read, Crayola crayons now are too high of quality. Like, they're less waxy.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to the dollar store and bought the best worst crayons I could.
The best of dollars.
Back in our day, our like, crayons so, you know, were normally
when you get a product, you read the back of the product, and it like has all these like great things about the product that like why it's better than other things. Yeah, these crayons don't say non-toxic, so I'm pretty sure if I eat them, I will die. But the back of this box basically says that you can do things that you can do with crayons. It doesn't make any kind of guarantees about being safe to eat or
what a color.
Bright and vivid.
Does it specifically say do not eat?
I don't know.
Because if it was dangerous, they would have said that.
Oh, of course,
that's,
yeah.
It's true. But normally they have, like, a non-toxic thing on them. So...
Is it like a pack of cigarettes, so they have that picture of the lung on it? And
it's got a picture of, like, a baby eating a crayon.
Yeah.
No, there's Jason on
the no symbol on it.
It's like, ah! Anyway.
They have a picture of Jason on the back with a no symbol.
Right.
Can I see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I haven't really done much gaming this week. I've been looking through some books to figure out what I want to play this weekend. There's a pickup game, so...
Oh, yeah?
I was thinking about either playing Marvel Super Heroes or D6 Star Wars, or actually, I was looking at Heroes Unlimited 4th Edition. I was going to talk to you about that a little bit.
This pickup game, is this over Skype or live or what?
Skype.
Well, if you go Marvel, I'll go Marvel.
Sounds good.
If you help me make a character, I don't have the player's book.
We'll work on that.
Okay. What
else? Do they have like a OGL?
Yeah, they do.
Or an SRD for Marvel Superheroes now?
Face Rip. Well, 4C, yeah.
Face Rip. Yeah.
4C.
You should be able to get it from there.
Or you could download the actual rules free of charge. It's not illegal, but I forget the MarvelSuperHeroesForever.com or something like that.
ClassicMarvelForever.com.
Yeah, that's it. And you can download
all
the rules.
It's not illegal?
No, it's not illegal because the license expired.
I mean, well, what I figured if, I don't know, TSR can't say anything, but I thought Marvel might have something to say about that.
Nah, Marvel doesn't care about it anymore.
Well, okay.
Yeah, the system, the system was TSR's. It's just all the characters and stuff. Well,
basically, right. this is how Marvel looks at it. Are you making money off of it? No. Then who cares?
Okay.
And it's all stuff from from superheroes from like 20 years ago, so who cares?
Okay.
And every Marvel word in the whole book has TM after it, so it's not like their trademark is in danger.
Yeah. So as long you can download it, read it, and play it, just as long as you don't print it out and start selling it.
Yeah.
That's the only catch.
Okay.
So enjoy.
Many more companies don't do that.
Yeah. Well, doesn't V&V do that too?
I don't know.
I think I saw Villains of Vigilante a free download, the original one or the second edition one.
It would not surprise me.
Have to check on their site again. So, Glenn.
Yes.
Emails.
Yes, we have one email and we have a kind of voice email. Let me read the regular email first. It's from Jake Hubbard.
Hi, Jake.
And
hi, Jake.
Excuse me. He says,
Hi, Glenn. No, kidding.
Hi, Jake. He says, hey guys, I've been catching up on the show now that I finally graduated from college.
Congratulations.
I was listening to episode 26, I believe, when you guys mentioned that college, FU.
What?
I don't know how to take that. Granted, it was during a massive tangent, and now I am only expanding on not only the massive tangent, but an old one at that. It made me laugh, though. In fact, the only reason why I went here was because the school was called FU.
Oh.
Being Finlandia University. It is a predominantly Finnish and Lutheran school, neither of which apply to me. I managed to spread the gospel of old school gaming among my 4 years in the area. Tabletop gaming in the area had been practically unheard of, with the exception of some 3, 5, and 4E games across the Portage Canal at Michigan Tech. But I managed to snag a few initiates. Anyway, yeah, now I've rambled on enough about nothing in particular. Thanks for doing a kick-ass show. I love the entire family of WGPRN podcasts, and keep up the awesome work, DM Jakey Danger.
Oh, he just signed up on the forums. He's cool. I like reading his posts.
Finlandia University. Oh, bet you had a lot of Lutefisk.
Boom, boom.
Anyway, that's our one red email.
Well, glad you've gotten some people into the fold of old school.
Yes, thank you, Jakey.
Yeah. Cool.
Jakey rules.
You want to play that that voicemail from Full On Gamer?
Yeah, we got one from Full On Gamer from the D20 Radio forums. He is our military man overseas, so it's easier for him to record this than call the line, probably. But anyway, mute your microphones as we play this.
All right.
Okay, hang on.
Greetings from Full On Gamer to my old school brothers and sisters of the Gamer Nation. Here's a question to sink your claws into that's good meat for any cast from the Wild Games crew. How do you get your troll on? Do you have troll parts become whole trolls? How soon? Do severed parts attack? How well? For how long? For destroying trolls, do you use the shortcut method of beat them down by any means and set a torch to the twitching remains? Or do you roll hardcore with Gary's guidance? I asked him for his take at a Gen Con. That every hit point of a troll has to be accounted for by permanent damage, by fire, acid, lightning, magical or otherwise, or they will come back. Do you run trolls smart and cunning, perhaps even with levels under their raggedy belts, or dumb as rocks with all the tactics of a pack of sharks in a feeding frenzy? What's your take on variant trolls, ice, aquatic, two-headed, or other? Any sneaky tricks you've used on them or had them pull on a party, like wearing rings of fire resistance? We can use them for ingredients for rings or scrolls of regeneration, and with suitable safeguards can make for an infinite, if unpalatable, source of emergency rations. Yes, trolls, the other green meat that just won't stay down. Let's serve up some freshly tenderized by Thaco's Hammer, if you can beat your plate when you roll for initiative. You may even be able to keep some down without having to save or die. So bring it.
I want to get him to do some voiceovers.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, that's cool. He's very
I like glad that he was able to...
I'm glad... Oh, sorry.
You go first.
No, it's just some snarky remark, that's all.
Go ahead, Liz.
I was just going to say, I was very impressed that he was able to work in all three of the podcasts.
I'm glad he said, beat your plate.
Yeah, I like the comment about the rations, because I actually had a half-ogre character in 1E who kept a troll hand in his pack, and he would gnaw on it every now and then, and that was basically his eternal rations.
That's not a bad idea.
You keep the rest of the troll from growing back.
That's what I mean. He keeps gnawing on it every hour or two to keep it down.
Oh, so. Okay.
Is that his own...
Munchies, really.
Yeah, his own beef jerky kind right there.
Nature's nachos.
Yeah,
that's like a permanent Slim Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you? So let's answer his question. So how would you run a troll? Pretty much. What's your rules on trolls, Mike?
Well, until I heard his email or voicemail, I had always played the beat 'em down, set a torch to 'em. Though I did require lamp oil. But mentioning Gary's idea, that's really kind of appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
That would make trolls a lot harder to deal with.
Yeah.
I do have appendages attack on their own. They will regenerate, but usually I depend on how many hit points the original troll had, and then I use the regenerate round. And when he gets, you know, say the arm gets up to the original hit point total, you've got a whole new troll.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's pretty nasty.
Well, yeah, well, considering most trolls are like 6+3 or something like that, it takes a bit. But yeah, you can. It's like a fluke worm. You know, you can cut them and keep cutting them and get more and more trolls.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's how I have trolls reproduce, really, is, you know, bits and bits.
Hmm.
I never really used ice trolls or two-headed trolls or anything like that. So I don't really have any opinion on that one way or the other. I have had trolls lair in very damp caverns with, like, sometimes even lakes or, you know, flooded up to maybe waist high to make it very hard to do ye olde fireballs and such.
Interesting. I've never heard of an ice troll either myself. Like, I never really used it. I've heard of it, I should say.
It's either Fiend Folio or Monster Manual 2. I can't remember which one. But that's 1E, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
And we could never use 1E stuff in Basic Expert.
Oh, oh, oh,
just
no,
completely
no.
No.
That's not, that's not in the box, though.
Totally different games.
Not in a box. Yeah, I've actually run my trolls like you would run Jason from Friday the 13th. Just unsuspecting players knock it down, think it's dead, it'll come back in the next like reel or something like that. kill.
Hey, do you guys hear something?
No.
I think I'll walk backwards in the dark toward the door.
An abandoned spooky house. This looks like a pretty good place to get naked.
Hey,
oh God, I'm being killed. I didn't expect this.
I'd rather see
There's
Army
a head
of
in the toilet. We'd better tell the others.
I'd rather see Army of Darkness versus Trolls.
That's kind
like
of
the Army of Darkness, or do you mean Ash from
Ash versus Trolls?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Groovy.
You know, I probably play him Animal Intelligence. Dumber
yeah.
Buck the Rocks.
I like the shark analogy he made.
Yeah,
sharks
was
in a feeding frenzy.
I'd never heard of a two-headed troll before, but it gave me an idea. I mean, two-headed troll and their regeneration. How about a troll hydra? Chop
a
one
tridra.
Off. A tridra. Chop one off, two more grow back.
Well, like presumably for it to have two heads, like its head would have got split at one point.
Uh-huh.
And then never, like, reattached, so it just grew two heads.
Or a wizard's experiment.
God, wrong.
Or a wizard did it, yeah.
Wasn't there trolls?
You're right.
Wasn't there trolls in the Gummy Bear cartoon?
There were.
You know, in Doctor Who, there
were. Now, Crispy, what about. Weren't there trolls in Pokemon?
No.
You can't call it. You can't have a Pokeball with a troll in it?
No. It's from Japan. Trolls
I'd
are
love to have a troll Western. With a Pokeball.
That would be a terrible idea.
I choose you, troll.
Like, no amount of badges would let you control that.
A great source for, I think, how to play a troll, and in fact, where obviously Gygax got the troll from, is Three Hearts and Three Lions by Paul Anderson.
Paul Anderson, huh?
Yeah, that is literally the introduction of the rubbery, thin, big-nosed troll. And the way it's portrayed there is it regenerates, but you cut a hand off, say, and the hand just wiggles its way back and reattaches.
That's kind of how I do the regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
What about you, Liz?
Yeah.
Liz.
I don't use trolls.
Why
have
not?
I have never used a troll. It's just never come up.
Down here!
Like, I've got nothing against them. It's just never really come up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Never used one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, well, maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Those are some really good ideas that were, you know, tossed about in the voicemail.
But next thing, I'm going to be in her game. She's going to put me up against Trollbolts.
That's right.
Trollbolts.
And they'll all have rings of fire resistance and...
Chop
cut
one off, two heads grow.
And ride giant centipedes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Trollbolts.
Okay.
And they'll look like puppies.
Well, full on, there's your answer, whatever it may be.
On a side note with trolls, in original D&D, the original gnoll was a crossbreed between a troll and a gnoll.
A gnome
and a troll.
A gnoll?
Gnoll.
Yeah. Isn't that
a
horrible thought?
Now, I love gnolls because they're my go-to guys for stupid monsters.
Okay.
I just put that out there. I like hyena men because...
I think they work better as hyena men than half gnome, half troll.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
See, I read... When I was doing the Lumpers comic strip, I was looking for something of a regular kind of bad guy who's really like stupid, and I was looking
other
through
than an orc,
yeah, other than an orc or a goblin, and I was looking through the monster man. I saw gnolls, and I read the description about them being, you know, all they think about is to eat and very unorganized and stuff like that. And I looked, and I go, oh, Wile E. Coyote, perfect.
Yeah.
So he became a regular in there. Yeah, that's, and also I like Knowles in my games. They're just like, go-to for thugs.
Cool.
Anyway.
Well, there's his answer. Discuss it in the forums, osrgaming.org, and head over there and talk about trolls, gnolls, and whatever else you can think
Do
of.
Do not forget about saverdotpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Or you can send us in the voicemail or whatever else you need to do. And what was I going to say? Oh, yes, that's right. You can now actually listen to our podcast streaming on the iPhone or the Android via an application called AudioPress. It's free. And basically you can get all our shows on there. As you just open up the application, you type in Save or Die, and our podcast comes right up.
All three podcasts?
No, unfortunately. I don't know who determines what podcasts are on there. I checked. Uh-huh. But the only one out of our family is Save or Die.
Huh. Weird.
Oh, by the way, someone in our family or on the board or something requested that we... I'll tell you later. Never mind.
Now that you started it, you might as well finish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, now that I started and halfway through, I realized I was asking the wrong question. So, folks, you didn't hear that.
Yeah, okay. Let's head into Game On. Game On this week. We're going to talk.
Awkward Vincent?
Yes. We're going to talk about customizing player characters.
Okay, we chop them, we drop them, put in some thrush pipes, or what?
What?
Do you have different game notes than we do?
Sounded like a.
I'm looking at my Car Wars notes.
To say he's on Car Talk or something.
Yeah, put a hooker header on these things? No.
So Crispy, you came up with this idea.
I did. What I actually meant was giving PCs little benefits that make them different from every other what class they are.
Like pimples?
No. Like pimples. Like the heroes of the story. Like a thing that's been kicking around in my head for a while is, like, if you want to make Conan the Barbarian in basic D&D, people are like, oh, there's no Barbarian, so you can't. But you can, because you just have him be a fighter, and then, say, like, the guy who's coming up with Conan, he, like, writes in his backstory, oh, he comes from, like, an indigenous people who are really good at climbing. So, like, as the DM, you can give him, like, say, the climbing ability of a thief, but, like, in a lower progression, like, say, half level of a thief, half his level, minimum one. And then, so you've got this guy who wears really light armor, or no armor at all, who uses, like, a big sword, and hates, you know, society and how weak it makes men, and also can climb, and there you have Conan the Barbarian.
But isn't that breaking the rules?
Well, no, it's not breaking the rules, because... Like, I can see that, but it's like...
How about if it's unbalanced?
Your fighter being able to climb slightly better than everyone else is not going to break the game. And it helps him to be different from every other fighter.
It'll make your thief whine.
Well, the thief will still be better. Because yeah. Everyone can climb. The thief skill, climb walls, is for sheer services. Which is something that Conan does as well. But... The fighter who's playing Conan would only be half as good as the thief of the same level.
I don't think Conan can climb walls, can he?
Yeah, Conan, like, that's what the Sumerians are good at.
Climbing walls?
Yeah, like, they're super, super good climbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, like, I have in the family D&D game that we're working on, my roommate is going to be a fighter who's a swashbuckler. So I'm letting him use dexterity to hit with the bonus or the drawback that he can't wear anything heavier than chain armor. So, like, he's got a... His AC averages out to be about the same because he has a high dex, and he hits a little bit better, but he doesn't do as much damage.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's not going to break anything, which is kind of the beauty of classic D&D. It's like you don't have to worry about feats and, like, character builds. If you want to do something different, you can, and it's not going to destroy the whole game balance.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of house ruling you got to be doing.
It's a, like a little bit. It's just like making little compromises, but use common sense. It's like, okay, he's a faster, more dexterous fighter. So in order to maintain, he's not going to be able to do this in plate mail.
I can see that mostly.
Yeah. So yeah. Backgrounds and descriptions will be really important for the character to prove,
yeah.
to prove like, the worth of the skills that you're getting or whatever you're mm-hmm. getting.
And like, because I think part of that is like, you know, if you write in his background, he comes from like a tribe of people who are good at climbing. Like that helps inform me as the DM. Like, oh, I could give him this. I could tweak him this way.
So you can't just write like one line, I can climb because I'm cool or something like that, or...
Well, yeah, like, you want to be able to, like, work it into the character in some way.
I was raised by baboons.
Therefore, so I can naturally have a red
climb
butt.
Trees
and, don't get personal.
Yeah, and have a red butt and eat bananas.
Make sure you make use out of the ultimate toolbox in this case.
That's right.
I've got the red butt feet.
Jeez. This show
I've
is lost.
I've got three skill ranks and each banana.
I've got half the range for flinging. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
I was waiting for somebody.
So yeah, but like somebody. I think it was W. Smith on Dragon's Foot a while back did something, which he was just there. Okay. Anyway, he mentioned something he did in his game, which was give, like, a +2 and a +1 to each character, and the character defined what circumstances that +2 and that +1 would be in.
Oh, that's
so it was
cool.
Sort of like a skill system, but it was very fast and loose.
Yeah.
And that helped, you know, customize the characters a bit without a lot of, you know, extra baggage on some.
Yeah, sometime. Like, I'm not saying, like, bring in feats to your basic D&D game, or, like, the skill system. Like, what I'm saying is, like, every fighter doesn't have to be
a guy with a sword.
Every armor, can fight with weapons, has a lot of hit points, that's it.
Well, you know, I'm going to bring up something that should not be brought up. Basically, the rules cyclopedia, but...
Oh my god! How dare you!
The skill system in there I looked at is so rudimentary that you could actually use that as a reference if you wanted to do something like that. It's got, you know, skill lists and stuff, and if you happen to have somebody who, okay, I want to be better at picking pockets because Mike, and he justifies it, and you, okay, fine, you're +1 to this.
No, it makes me remind you too much of second edition. No. No, no, no.
Like, I play Labyrinth Lord with the AEC, and, like, I use, like,
your full
the racial bonuses and, like, the class...
What?
The racial bonuses and the dexterity bonuses for thief skills.
Where did that come from? What?
What?
That's from first edition.
I didn't hear nothing.
Who?
Oh, I think he's still talking the RC that will not be named or something.
The RC that will be not be named.
The RC that will not be named, yeah.
Well, we call it RC on the show because people think it's people think it's soda.
No, people think it's a
right?
car. I think it's a toy car.
Oh yeah, remote controlled.
Yeah. So remote like with so with these little added benefits like backgrounds and descriptions and role playing, that is, I think that becomes a little more important because it's like this is part of your. That's the reason why you have these things is because it's part of your backstory.
Yeah.
Couldn't somebody argue though that attributes are what makes Joe Fighter different from Bill Fighter?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, like, I mean, but it only goes so far. Like, you're going to be able to hit a little bit better and do a little more damage and maybe have some more hit points and an AC, but, like,
well,
you don't get anything else.
You're saying solely combat, though. I mean,
that's true.
Intelligence, you've got, you know, different languages, possibly, mm-hmm. and charisma, you can have more hirelings. I'm not saying that that's enough. That's not enough for a lot of people. I'm just saying that there is kind of a built-in system already there to make, mm-hmm. you know, Bill and Joe Fighters a little different.
Yeah. And, like, I think that's really good, but, like, I just had a train of thought, but then I lost it.
Liz?
Liz was going to say something.
I was going to say, I thoroughly agree with Crispy's idea, especially if you have players who have been reluctant in the past to take the time to make backstories for their characters. This is it's a good incentive, you know, a carrot in a way.
Yes, it is.
It's like, make up a backstory for your character. You know, where is he or she from? What did they do? What drives them? And
then die by a rat.
Yeah, and it helps the DM because you've got story hooks that you could use for that character in the future.
Oh, yeah.
And it helps them because they might get some, you know, good little bennies here and there based on what they said about themselves and their backstory.
That's true. That's true. And to me, it all comes down to, once again, the role playing and the description and the background. But if you hit, like, just back up Liz here. She's, you know, if you have players who are reluctant to do that, it all comes back to, once again, the hook for the character. Just one little hook. I've had my old DM Mark. I've had guys go, they give him something like, yeah, he's really good at the bow, and they just leave it at that. And if he looks at your character, he looks at the equipment you have, and he says, okay, not only is he good at the bow, I'm going to give him this. And next thing you know, the player's going, oh, well, that's because he's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he's getting into the backstory. He's getting into the role play. So, yeah, like, it's a good thing.
In the family D&D game, Tim's being a noble who's being hunted by his evil uncle who's trying to usurp his power. And so, like, I'm going to throw assassins and stuff at him all the time.
What's the family D&D game?
Oh, have I not talked about this here? Okay, so...
Well, you have.
Not to me.
My bad.
Mike wasn't
my
on the episode.
My roommate's sister recently, like, they've basically adopted me. They're, like, my second family. But, the youngest just graduated high school, and so at graduation, their mom was like, oh, you know, now that everyone is gone and we don't have to pay for anyone anymore, we can start playing D&D again. Because they haven't played since, like, 1985.
Right.
So, basically, we got everyone together, and
that's a long time ago.
Yeah. Like, it's, we're just gonna sit down, and everyone's gonna play D&D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's more just the campaign is a family campaign. It's not like you're writing a new version of D&D.
No. It's like the family D&D campaign.
Okay.
I'm super excited for it.
Okay.
Very cool. Very
now that
cool.
Family circle hour is over.
Oh, one last point. Like, if you're giving benefits, though, like, I don't think you should get anything for free. So, like, of course, you should be trading off things for other things.
Oh, sure.
Oh, like more or less. But if it's so minor, like, you know, to me, a plus one is minor.
Yeah, well, like using your dexterity to hit, but you can't wear heavier than chain armor.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing I can understand. There's you give something, you take something.
All right, you've mentioned bouncing off the thief there or the fighter, but how about bouncing off the magic user / the elf?
That's tough. It really just depends on what the player wants to have in a benefit.
Well, let's say I want to be human, but I don't want to be a magic user. I want to be based off the elf class. I want to be able to use a bow. I want to be able to use a sword. And I want to be able to wear some type of armor. How are you going to make that work for me, Crispy?
I would basically take away all your elf abilities and then let you progress in higher level. Like, you would be able to get past 10. I would actually probably let you go full, like, in Labyrinth Lord or basic full 14 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just don't get the elf detection abilities.
Yeah.
Now that everybody's collectively crying out there out loud, is that really fair? I mean...
Well, like, it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, you're giving up the various attributes.
Yeah. Glad it wasn't a dwarf magic user.
Yeah, or what about a dwarven magic user?
Yeah, take away all his dwarf abilities.
Be a bit tough. Like, you would be a magic user, but you would have, like, the dwarf plus the saves, and, like, you would have the dwarf saves, and,
But you take away everything else.
You would still have the detection abilities, but, like, okay. You would have the magic user hit die.
You take away all the dwarf stuff. All of a sudden, he's 6'1", and he's...
Well, I don't see why a dwarf couldn't be a magic user, because there had to be at least 1% of that society that used that type of magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't they mostly deal with...
Or have a different class that's dwarven specific.
Like a shaman or something? Or?
D&D. Yeah, like the forger, some sort of forger whose whole thing is putting spells into items.
Well, now we're talking about creating a whole new class as it is.
Well, yeah, and like, that's kind of the beauty of like doing this is like you make pretty much really new classes, new individual classes for these people.
But you the problem with this is you don't know how balanced it's going to be. Until you play it.
The primer for old school gaming. Forget about game balance.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of the classes aren't balanced as it is.
Yeah, you balance with experience.
I agree with you guys. I'm just playing the
devil's advocate.
Yeah, I'm playing the other side because these people are sitting there going, well, that's not fair. What about...
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. My viewpoint is it doesn't have to be super fair as long as it's fun for everyone. Like, that's the balancing factor for me. If something is unfair, or if something is unfun, change it so that it is fun.
Yeah.
Like, if you want a perfectly balanced game, go play 4th edition.
Ah!
See ya.
Yeah, stop listening and go listen to The Power Source. There you go, on D20 Radio.
Fun game about swashbuckling action and quick combat skirmishes and exploration, play basic D&D.
But we're not biased.
No.
And if you want something in between, play second.
They're different games. Like, and it's,
first.
These things aren't mutually exclusive. You can do each one with the different systems, but like they're predetermined to be towards one style of play.
Yeah.
And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's just not our bag, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, you could probably make basic D&D, like, super complex tactical combat miniatures game, but, like, it's going to take a little bit more work, and you can make 4E a lot faster and a lot looser and a lot more, a lot less rulesy. But it's going to take some work as well.
Just throw everything out.
Just throw the game
start
out.
Start new.
Just throw the game out and go buy basic. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess, folks? Game on. Tell us how you would customize your player characters or game. Give us an email. Give us a call. Go to the forums. OSRgaming.org.
The usual places.
Yeah. Or visit Glenn's house at... No, I'm sorry.
Well,
3 Oklahoma Street, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Nowheresville, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's why I can't get my books. Yeah.
Because the mailman doesn't know where to bring it to.
At least you're not in Canada where they don't have mail anymore.
That's true.
What?
Oh, God.
Well, they're on strike, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On strike? Oh, my goodness.
All right. DM Fiat's coming up.
Nope. Sorry.
What?
Nope, you're wrong. Look it up.
I don't have to look it up. It's common knowledge.
Nope. No, no, no.
So for the Fiat this week?
I'd rather be a DM Plymouth.
I want to be a DM Cars this
Supreme.
Week?
Supreme.
Mine had a typo. I thought it was DM flat.
It says Fiat. It doesn't say flat.
It says Fiat in my notes.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I messed up on the thing was when instead of saying Thorky, I put Thokies.
Thoki. it's Thorky's brother.
Yes, it's his little brother. Anyway.
So is this a little series we're doing about Racist Class?
Yeah, Racist Class, part one out of, I think, a 3-part series.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Elves.
Do you like them? Do you not like them? Do you... I know there's a lot of people who hate
Yes, they are delicious.
Yeah, wasn't Gary one of them?
Was he?
Mike?
Hmm?
Did Gygax not like elves?
We never talked about that, so I don't know.
Where did you hear that, Glenn?
I know he was very vehement about claiming that
that's the
elves, dwarves, and
because...
halflings... weren't from Tolkien.
Okay, well, I understand that.
Why, because he based everything on a human, whatever-centric campaign?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to get sued by the Tolkien estate, I imagine.
From what I understand, one, he handicaps elves so bad that everybody thought he hated elves.
One, he doesn't handicap elves.
Okay.
Does
well,
it?
Maybe I'm wrong then. You folks out there, tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Write to Glenn at glenn.com.
Us are just talking about the level progression cutoff for elves as opposed to humans.
That's probably right.
But I figure that was probably an attempt at balance, doing it that way.
Yeah.
Although everybody I know always ignored that and let their players progress their elves as high as they wanted to.
Yes.
I don't know anyone. I'm sure there are people out there, but I don't know anyone who actually paid attention to that.
That's right.
And that goes back to the point I made. Like, if you think something needs to be changed to be more fun,
change it.
As long
well,
as
you're running campaigns where nobody really gets beyond 9th to 12th level anyway.
Yeah. Like stopping at 8th level as a dwarf is not.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal.
Oh no.
I'm one level lower than everyone else, but I can, you know, do all these cool stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So history of elves. As far as demi-humans go, I never knew this. Mike, which in the OD&D do demi-humans appear at all? Or it would be a supplement?
Yeah. No, they were in the core. Elves, dwarves, and hobbits. Oh, wait. Halflings. Because it's totally different.
We were talking about this, I think, in the last show, and you mentioned the three classes, and then the thief added later on. And
well, the idea of races class first showed up in Holmes. It was not in the original books.
Oh, it wasn't? So you could be an elf fighter.
Well, yeah, yeah, like elf magic muser, or, and this was an interesting way that they did multi-classes in original, which is you chose at the beginning of the adventure whether you were going to be a fighter or a magic user. And
ouch.
You basically decided, and for that day you either wore armor and fought, or you did not wear armor and used spells.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, and the XP you gathered went to that class for that day. And when I first read it, I didn't like it. But the more I think about it, the more it would be something. It would be a different way of looking at multiclassing, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting idea. I personally like what the elf became in like Holmes and Moldvay Cook, where it just was a fighter magic user blend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't have to worry about, like, splitting your AXP between the two. I think in Holmes, though, you still do.
Well, when I went back to...
I think it's still... It's a single progression table. Isn't it, Liz?
Elf is elf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elf meat. Mmm.
Yeah,
the other white meat.
I was... when I first started, you know, getting back into basic here, which I'd never been in before, and the races class thing... It took me a while to wrap my head around that, as far as, like, how do I justify this in my own mind without it being a class. Now I'm pretty much okay with it, realizing that, okay, just because it says elf on my character sheet doesn't mean I can't make him an elf that does other things, too, that have nothing to do with the class.
Like, how so? How do you mean?
Like having an occupation and, you know. So at first I thought, like, okay, all elves, it's like there are, like, these Stepford elves that would just, like, okay, I'm going adventuring now. Like, they're a hive mind or something.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, the elf class isn't, like, every elf is like this. It's elven adventurers, I think.
Yeah,
I want to break in here and just say I was wrong. Elves do progress in the two different areas, fighting man and magic user. So I was mistaken when I said they only did the one. So
forgive it.
Haha! I was right.
You were right. I was wrong.
Liz was wrong.
Whoa,
Liz!
I'm going to have to leave the show now.
Well, we have it. We have it on the recording now, so, okay.
And there goes 2/3 of our listeners.
Well, Thorky's still there.
Goodbye. No, I said I was going to be leaving the show. I have to leave the show because I was
Thorky
wrong.
Thorky will boycott us now.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so elves...
Gotta get nasty letters.
So we just get Julie back in a leather bikini. He's fine.
Yeah.
So does anyone know where the elf came from? Like, what the literary basis for this was?
I would probably say either a combination of Celtic and Norse.
The and Vanir, the North Pole.
The Van...
Glenn.
Yeah, the little-known Keebler elves who live deep in the
well,
forest
they have point years.
Bake cookies. And...
Plus two to cookie baking.
And toys, yes.
Everybody, please excuse this one episode this week.
We'd like to apologize to everybody right now.
We here at WGPR and Family do not condone the actions taken by Glenn in this episode.
That means
we should
I can
just
do
put that at the beginning
right?
of every episode.
Yeah, we should have that disclaimer.
Our disclaimer, yeah.
That's our disclaimer for every episode. We do not condone any actions or any words said by Glenn during the podcast. Thank you.
I don't think Jose ever has the disclaimer. Don't listen to this show. Just don't. You won't like it.
Right.
Anyway. So, yeah, I think that was the basis of the elf, and the elf was always considered inherently a magical creature. So the idea of
like,
an elf really didn't do spells is pretty much against the archetype.
And isn't there a note about them not having souls or something like that?
They have spirits like animals, yes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which makes reincarnation possible, but not
resurrection.
At least in later versions. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I kind of ignore that rule.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy your life as a troll. Thank you.
Oh, no.
No.
Hey, in the original Rogues Gallery, they had some characters in there who had been reincarnated as monsters. I think one I think one was a lizard man. I'm not sure. Anyway. I don't know. I see that as a great role playing opportunity.
Yeah. That's
pretty
cool.
Yeah.
So. Elves versus magic users.
Oh, just quickly, an elf is being quoted as being part of the Germanic mythology.
Ah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Norse, basically.
Yeah, Norse is Germanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vanir.
The elves were originally thought of as a race of divine beings endowed with magical powers. Yeah, medieval Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They
appear
to have been
who were sometimes allies, sometimes opponents of Asgard.
They appear to be divided into two groups, light and dark.
Mm. Yeah, that's more Celtic. The Seelie and Unseelie.
Unseelie, yeah.
The Christmas elves, as Glenn put them, were popularized during the 1870s in the United States.
Huh. I didn't know that they were that recent. That's pretty interesting.
On a computer in the North Pole. Hey, they're mentioning us. Oh, boy.
Turn that up.
The English word elf is from an old English word. I can't pronounce it. It's the A-E together, L-F.
A. It's elf.
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 Which is why in the known world / Mystara, isn't there like... What's the elven capital? It's got that A.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Aberg.
I don't know.
That's I don't know. I don't know Mystara. So.
Aberg? Is that the Jewish
Aberg.
Elf or what?
No, that's Afeld.
That's Elfenstein.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Return.
No, that's the
castle
Elfenstein. Isn't it?
Anyway,
mini flesh golem called Elfenstein here. Yeah, sorry.
Elves versus magic users.
Who would win? Yeah,
elves are much more versatile. On the other hand, it takes them longer to accrue, to rise in levels. So,
Like, and the other thing is, elves become more powerful, or not elves? Sorry, magic users become more powerful. Magic users.
Wouldn't you think elves would be more powerful than magic users because they have the ability of magic inherent in them and born with it, as opposed to as opposed to magic users who has to learn it.
Yeah, but again, there's the argument of elves being extremely long-lived. So, to a human, they may not take as, they've got plenty of time to raise their magic. They're not in a rush.
And that's part of the humanocentric viewpoint of D&D is, the elves are they inherently have this ability, but the humans are so prolific and prodigious that they actually become more powerful.
And at least an original D&D, as Gary often said, you know, the rules in there for the classes are for PCs, not necessarily for NPCs.
Yeah.
As far as them being long-lived, I don't even think they fear death, because if what I understand, I read somewhere that elves have spirits, not souls, spirits like an animal, and according to that, when an animal dies, it just goes into another animal. So it'd just go into another elf.
So they get reincarnated.
Yeah.
So they're like that species on Deep Space Nine that keeps going from...
Yeah, pretty much.
The Dax species.
The Dax species, yeah.
Or the Gelf in Doctor Who, first season. Yeah,
Mike,
the
2005 season. That's two references in one show. It's enough,
What's,
right?
We're catching up. We've missed some.
Ninth Doctor. Which ones were the Gelf?
Gelflings?
When he went to see Dickens. Charles Dickens.
I'm trying to remember that one.
It's like the third episode.
Yeah, I know. It's been, like, I haven't watched it since, like, 2008.
Yeah, that they had,
but on
they
a
were
side
taking
note,
over the bodies of dead people. No,
this
is
where's the Cheetos?
Taking over the bodies of
I don't know.
People at the morgue.
I'm ignoring them because this has nothing to do with
well,
the show.
Well, I figured it's degenerated to this, so.
No, no.
All right.
Oh, by the way, it's the Elves of Alfheim for Mr.
Alfheim. Yeah.
Alfheim.
Which has got a Norse flair to it, so. Mm-hmm.
So is an elf class balanced as far as playing it?
I think, like, with how slow they progress, and, like, yeah, they blend the fighter magic user, but also they have, like, a lower hit die. I think, to an extent, yeah.
What are their hit die?
D6.
D6. Yeah, okay. Magic user's D4. Yeah, I can see where they get a little leg up on that.
I think their saves are kind of crappy, too, if I recall off the top of my head, compared to, like, what a fighter eventually gets to.
Right. Well, it's a middle ground, I think, between the it's, you know, better at fighting and stuff than the magic user, but not as good as the fighter. It's
yeah.
Right.
So what?
It balances out.
How can we make them better?
Flames up. Sorry.
Fire out of their butts. I was gonna
say shoot fire, but they can already do that after they reach fifth level.
Oh, look, the elves are flying south for the winter.
Actually burning hands, so they can start with shooting fire.
Well, if you take that idea they don't sleep, they make great guards.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wanted to throw that in.
Is that in basic? Because
no,
I don't remember.
I don't think we're saying how to make them better.
Oh.
So I was just making that as a suggestion to make them better. Just to pull that thing.
They don't sleep? Something that comes into second edition time?
I think it's second edition. I think.
What
like,
are they just
I know,
going to a
is it Glenn? Ask Glenn.
Hey, Glenn, second
hey,
edition
what?
Expert.
Yeah.
Isn't it the idea of elves not being to sleep? They have to meditate or whatever for 4 hours. That's a second edition rule, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I think we discussed this on RFI, and now here that elves do not have to. They just get treated like normal classes. They have to sleep.
Yes. That is right.
But if you wanted to make them better.
Yeah.
Really, that's a way to make any class better, if you just... They don't have to sleep.
Ever.
See, the problem with making elves better is they're kind of good already, and... I don't know, I've seen a lot of elf abuse in my years. In
like,
games.
The elves, the way it balances out is you get a lot for free at the beginning, and then you plateau off.
It's front-loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
what
I've
do you
some...
think, Liz?
Well, I think... Oh, sorry.
I think she's right.
What about elves?
How would you make them different? Better? Worse? As a class? Would you?
I think they're fine just the way they are. As far as Holmes goes, they do not even get into that whole they have spirits instead of souls. I've always run elves as being, you know, much like humans in that regard. Yes, they have souls. I don't go for that foofy animal spirit stuff.
No. You don't go for that Native American stuff, right?
That's
now,
right.
A house rule that the great Joe DM did for us. Was he allowed elves to be able to have the ability to stay up for a week at a time But then they would have to take 24 hours straight sleep.
Huh. An Odin sleep?
A what?
An Odin sleep?
An Odin sleep?
Oh, no, that's like 1 week years. A year. That's right. 1 week a year, that's right.
They'd have to sleep 24 hours straight, and if they got woken up during that time frame, they'd have to start all over again.
That's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He allowed the elves to do that.
Can make them look like the those creatures from Avatar.
The Na'vi?
Yeah. I mean,
think of the Avatar movie.
I don't know, man. Nature spirits, nature protector enough. I don't need any more hippie crap.
Totems and all that.
All right, great. Elves, tell us what you do, what you think, and head into the workshop.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him.
But this isn't science. It's more like black magic.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Oh, yeah. It's all coming together. Welcome to the Dungeon Master's Workshop.
So the workshop, what kind of car we have this week, Glenn?
I want overtime.
Why do you want overtime?
Time and a half. Come on. You put me to work all the time.
Instead of
you're fired.
He does a car reference for every other thing, and now he does labor issues during the workshop.
Well, gee, before it was like, I have a hammer, I have a pick.
Again, WGPRN does not condone any comments by Glenn in this podcast.
Glenn, this podcast is non-union, so...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, the Gamer Nation loves me, so...
But Gamer Nation doesn't know who you are.
What are we talking about?
Handling the or as Crispy put, the reincarnate spell.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's the car reference right there.
Yeah. Reincarnate.
Reincarnate.
Yes.
Oh, I get it.
The reincarnation
very
spell.
Clever.
Do you guys just use it straight by the book? I don't know.
Well,
Glenn?
Have you guys used it?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. How does it differ from edition to edition, or does it?
Well, in original, it pretty much just said you check the alignment table in Men and Magic, the first book.
Ah.
And, you know, depending on your alignment, use the list of example critters or people, and the DM is just expected to pick one of those, either by a roll, even though it's not an actual table, and determine that's what a reincarnate is.
Okay. What about Holmes? What does he have to say on reincarnation?
Oh, and the druid's reincarnation emphasizes animals instead of magic creatures or people.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Okay, that's it.
So much for being a man again.
Mm-hmm. Holmes is too low level for reincarnate, so whenever it comes up, I would generally just go to the OD&D books and use their rules.
Send them to the temple. Okay, that's understood. What about our Moldvay Cook?
Yeah, I was just going to ask Crispy, you're the Labyrinth Lord expert. Does it say anything in there about it?
Look, with this spell, the caster returns life to a character by means of creating another body. Since the character is returning in a new body, all physical ills and afflictions are repaired. The condition of their remains is not a factor, so long as some small portion of the body still exists. It can be reincarnated. The magic of the spell creates an entirely new young adult body. If the result on the table below indicates reincarnation to a class, roll 1d6 to determine the character's level. The level may not exceed the original character's class level. Oh, so you might lose levels.
Ooh.
If you're like level 8 and you get reincarnated.
You could.
Yeah. If the roll indicates that they returned as a creature, roll on the column matching the original character's alignment. Additionally, creatures may be used to extend the table, but no creature having more than 6 head dice should be included. And each creature should be minimally semi-intelligent. The character brought back as a creature must either adventure as the character or the player must retire the character. Monsters do not gain experience or advance in level. Void war prohibited. Some restrictions apply. Check your local dealer for details.
Thank you.
So is that a copy from Moldvay Cook? Or is that unique to Labyrinth Lord?
Well, it's like a D10 roll on here, and then you just kind of... Cleric, dwarf, elf, halfling, magic user, thief, creature, or same class, and then it's got, like, by alignment.
Okay. I don't know. I was asking. So.
I don't know about Moldvay Cook. That's
Vince would probably know that better than me.
I'm actually looking because I wanted to see, because I didn't have the exact definition in front of me, and I don't happen to see
expert?
It.
Expert?
It's a 6th level spell. Expert.
Yeah, it's expert.
It's the expert class.
While he's looking that up, Glenn, what about Mentzer?
Well, excuse me. Mentzer pretty much follows in lockstep with what Crispy said. You need just a little piece to reincarnate. You may lose levels or benefits, depending on, like, say, if you were a dwarf and get reincarnated as a human, you know, that kind of thing. And okay. Once again, it's got an interesting sentence in here. A character must play the reincarnated creature. Oh, by the way, you do not get experience if you're reincarnated as a monster.
Yeah, that's what it says here. Monsters are not getting experience. Yeah.
So that probably is directly from Cook.
Yeah. But it says may not gain levels of experience. The character must play at the reincarnated creature, retire from play, or perhaps be reincarnated again when slain. I could see some guy as like an orc say, please, please, right here. Right here.
Kill me.
Yes. Let's do it again. And they do have a reincarnation results table, which is a D8. Human, dwarf, halfling, monster, original race. And they also have a subtable with, once again, monster bodies, if you roll that, depending on what alignment you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it says under bear, any normal bear. I don't understand that. And it also says you can add more monsters to the list. Such monsters should have 8 hit die or less and should be at least semi-intelligent. So and no reincarnating into slimes.
Hmm.
Or kobolds. No. Wait a minute. They're semi-intelligent, aren't they?
Are you saying kobolds are worse than slimes?
I could. If you want me to.
Well, like, in a fight, slime would probably kill the kobold.
That's true.
A kobold could outrun a slime pretty easily.
Yeah,
that's true.
Except those gelatinous cubes, which are closing in fast.
Charging into the room.
Basically, it's the reincarnation.
Anytime that gelatinous cube thing gets brought up, I just think of that scene in Austin Powers with the steamroller.
Yes.
I'd love to have an encounter. I'd love to have a wizard behind a gelatinous cube, sick at the bottom, and he hits it with a haste spell. Whoa! Let's get out of here.
So basically, reincarnate in Mr. Marsh Cook.
Yes.
Cook Marsh. You roll a d10 and you determine what he comes back as right in front of the magic user. And if you roll monster, then you go by the alignment and then you roll on a different table.
Hmm. See, this is all one table, but like, yeah, pretty much the same.
So pretty much consistent through the versions.
You can come back as a werewolf.
I see neutral werebear. On here.
Mine comes, you can go back as a were-rat.
So as a DM, would you pick it or roll it?
Were-castler.
I think I would roll it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if for no other reason, you end up giving the player something lame, they're going to get mad at you unless you make sure you, hey, I rolled this, you know?
Yeah, like...
That's where the dice came. But I don't want to be a were-badger, you know? Well, that's what came up. Sorry.
At least you get to be human part of the time. Shut up.
Yeah.
Liz?
I'm generally for rolling for pretty much the same reasons. If the DM is picking and the players don't like what you picked, then, you know, they gripe at you. If you're rolling it, then if it comes up something that they may not care for, you know, you've got plausible deniability at that point.
Hmm.
And we all need that, yeah.
Woo!
Woo-wee. So, I don't know. I'd probably roll it, too.
I roll just because you know.
I'm always for, like, hey, let's see what the dice does to him.
Try to keep the glee inside.
I will try.
I'd roll, but I'd make up my own chart.
Oh, you would?
I think that's a good idea.
The chart is a bit limited. I agree with Vince.
Anything
expanded?
How shall we say distinctive you would put on there?
I don't know exactly offhand right now, but I mean I've done known to do some silly things such as lobster claws for hands.
Sort of gamma world kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, just roll on the regeneration, you know, table or
come back as a spawn of Cthulhu.
like, now when you say a regeneration table, like, that's
well,
what I've
actually,
been thinking this whole time.
I was going to say, you know, what I guess what I really mean to say is, you know, the tables in Gamma World, you know, when you have radiation and, you know, weird
yes.
things happen to
mutation.
You. So,
mutation.
So, yeah, the mutation table. That's it.
Yeah. Yes.
Go to Gamma World, roll on the mutation table. Ah, here's what happened to you.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
I have antipathy field. Everybody hates me.
I'd find one of the tables in Tune and use it.
That's a shock.
That's a great table to use, Glenn.
Yes,
Glenn, what? using
my favorite
Doom?
Table, there's things falling from the
no
sky.
No way.
Never.
Most unexpected.
Ever. No. So, you folks use the reincarnate spell out there? Huh?
Maybe here we hear different ways people make it better. Or worse.
Yeah.
What are your more interesting reincarnations?
Obviously, we can't make it better. How about you?
Give us a story. We want to hear it.
The usual place.
Next on
Geraldo.
Speak up. Let's go into random encounters next.
We take what we want and leave the rest. Just like your salad bar.
Nothing up must leave. Presto!
You will come up no more.
What? Huh? What will come out no more?
Random encounters.
So for random encounters, we have Mike's favorite creature.
Yes, the Russ Monster.
That it's not random.
Oh man, I thought your favorite creature was the giant tick.
Spoon. I thought your favorite creature was the steam
weevils.
Well, Mike has a lot of favorite creatures, right?
I have a lot of favorite creatures. It depends on what level party. I mean, you know,
giant
ticks on 10th level characters really isn't a big deal.
I remember this monster used to be the most feared monster for a low-level party to encounter.
Oh no, all my stuff!
And then,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And as it went up in editions, like first, second, third, whatever, it kind of became like a Russ monster, whoop-de-doo. So
really?
it just didn't have the same effect as it had back here.
Well, yeah, because it was weenified because, you know, players didn't like running into them. They lost all their cool stuff.
Yeah. Well,
simple.
The
later edition just
more to the player's perspective. Like,
yeah.
You get saving throws for everything, so you get a saving throw for the Rust Monster eating your weapons, which is, I don't know, pretty dumb. I think, don't attack a Rust Monster.
Yeah. I like the story of how the Russ Monster came about.
Yeah, isn't that one with the toy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Gary had bought one of those bags of like 100 freaky creatures for like $1 at the store, you know, just from like Taiwan or something. And yeah, something really bizarre, which he used for the Russ Monster. And
yeah, I looked at the picture. It's like
the picture, yeah.
That's weird. That's really creepy. It's like, what's he got a propeller on his butt for?
Yeah, yeah. So
it looks like from
cool.
Addition to addition, as far as basic goes, he pretty much stays the same, except for Greyhawk is a little different.
Oh yeah, what's that?
This AC is different.
Uh-huh.
He has a higher AC is 2 all around. I'm looking at this correctly that we compared the charts, but in the Greyhawk, he has an AC of 5.
Yeah,
right. Hmm.
I wonder why he's so much easier to hit.
Because if you hit him, then your sword turns to rust, so you want to make it easy to hit.
Exactly.
Oh, that's mean.
His hit dice
has no lair and no treasure, so you can't even go, well, at least I can get some goodies off him.
No.
Yeah. The rust monster is a good monster for, like, the wizard to fight, because he's got, like, a quarter staff.
I put
the monk up.
It's
a later edition.
It's funny. Every description listed as this offensive looking, and then the Holmes listed as this inoffensive looking little creature.
Yes,
I think
it's
kind of cute.
You should.
Yeah, I was about to say, it does not look offensive.
I'm trying to sucker you in, you know.
It's just kind of weird. It's inoffensive looking. that wording itself is just weird.
It's like a little kitten, and the fighter goes, oh, look, it's a kitten, and he goes up to it, and it touches him, and his armor falls off his body.
It's a big, giant armadillo.
At which point the DM giggles maniacally.
This is why I read that web cartoon, Rusty and Company.
And I noticed Challenger Rules gives it saving throws fight is fighter level 3.
Yeah, that pretty much is in lockstep with Metzer.
Yeah.
But I also, here's something interesting. Here's something interesting. A successful attack roll indicates the rust monster's body is hit, which does not harm the weapon.
Wait, what?
In Mensur?
That's what it says in Mensur.
Was.
I mean, it will hit you and rust your stuff, but you can hit it and not... Well, let me back that up. It says the tentacles are what hits you that makes it rust. So I'm assuming they're thinking you're hitting the body.
That's wussy.
And Holmes...
That is pretty wussy. Like, because in
original,
Lavenford,
it says... Yeah, in original it says any hit by or upon a rust monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause yeah, even magical weapons to rust and fall apart.
So now we know where the wussification started.
Yeah.
The rust monster gets damage attacks in every edition, it looks like, I think. Except for Holmes listed as zero damage.
No damage.
Yeah, zero.
Other than to your metal stuff.
Yeah. So it's like it's a monster that can't really hurt you.
Remember,
it's like
it
a
has,
big cricket.
Remember, it has to hit to hurt. I've had this go up against people, and they go, well, he hits, your stuff falls to dust. And it's like, well, don't I get a saving throw? The saving throw is having a better armor class, dummy.
Yeah, you want a saving throw versus item, play 4th edition.
Yeah.
Play
freaking like I was saying earlier, this is a good situation to use silver weapons on, since that's not going to rust.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
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 Or carry silver that dagger or arrows.
Yeah, and it's all ordinary metal and armor or weapons. And, like, yeah. Silver by its
Well,
nature.
It's asferous metals in Greyhawks, so... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically...
Why don't you throw a barrel at it?
So, a rust monster. Maybe we can make a rust tarnish monster for the silver ones, or...?
Yeah, but that just make them look unsightly.
Oh, okay.
How about an anti-rust monster? It comes across a pile of rust and it makes armor out of it. No.
No. Nah, I don't like that.
And the XP value in Metzer is 300.
Yeah.
It's a 3-hit or a 5-hit die creature, so let me see.
Yeah, that you understand that.
Labyrinth Lord.
Yeah, it's around the same thing. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's probably going to be around the same thing.
It's interesting that they don't... Usually you see somebody go up against a rust monster. These things come in D4.
Yeah, they come in groups.
Four of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I would usually use two.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like, the thing is like, it doesn't hurt you, because it's
1-2 in original D&D, not 1-4.
Yeah. I would use two, definitely two.
Yeah. A mated pair.
Who are stealthy.
Have some rust monster babies that they're trying to feed.
So make sure you have that that wooden club with you so you can bash it to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a good way babies. To... That sounds like a Henson show, doesn't it?
Rust monster babies?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rust monster is a good way to, like, get your players to change up. Or if you give them a... This is kind of mean, but say, like, you generate, like, a sword that you don't want your fighter to have anymore because you realize it's a little too powerful. If you throw a rust monster at him, in Labyrinth Lord, what it says is every plus gives it a 10% chance per plus to
That's
avoid
right.
getting it minused. So if you give it a +3 sword, it's only got a 30% chance of surviving that hit.
Yeah, you could be a...
That's true.
A pain in the butt and take
it
away that
way. It's a
good
way to get magic weapons away from players that you don't want them to have.
I normally like to do the whole, when you're sleeping, some guy sneaks in and steals your crap and runs away.
When you're sleeping, a rust monster comes upon your camp.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, takes your boots and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think the rust monster is a more covert way of doing that, though. Because, like, you can only have someone steal their stuff so many times before they go, okay, I'm not playing anymore.
Well, that's it for that's,
what happened to you know these. What happened to the unsleeping elf who was
on
the watch?
Just send a really talking bad fox at them.
Now here's a real interesting fight. A rust monster versus an iron golem.
I think they would both die instantly upon impact.
Oh, yeah.
The force of the punch into the rust monster would smash it, but the iron golem touching would turn into rust.
Yep.
What's the size of... Well, it says giant armadillo with a long tail. Okay, that gives me an idea of the size of these things. I was going to say, if they were the size of like a scorpion and one of them got in a boot and started eating the metal parts...
No, that would be... That's for the rust monster babies.
I could see a rust monster that small. Why not?
Well, rust monster baby. Oh, yeah.
Shrink on it or something.
Yeah, elf pulls out. It pulls out an arrow. All the tips were eaten off.
Or how about you have them in a little bag, and you use them. You tie them to an arrow and you shoot it at your foe's armor.
They would also be excellent for traps. Set up like a pit trap, and the fighter drops onto a rust monster.
Oh man, yeah, that would
drop
be,
one
yeah,
on the fighter. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Here, something to play with.
Something to play with. Some ideas.
And
for
like
the
feeding it would be pretty easy. Like you could just go and drop in like an iron ingot.
Found a crappy dagger.
And
there you go.
Don't forget, a certain percentage of your money will be made of something the rust monster can eat.
Yeah.
It will.
Well.
No.
Yeah.
Ferrous metal.
Ferrous
gold,
metal.
Silver.
Ferrous means iron.
Yeah, gold, silver, and copper are non-ferrous.
Yeah.
Oh.
What about those societies that mix metal with pieces of gold and silver to
steel. Dilute the coin.
Yeah, to make the money go around longer.
I think the jury's still out on whether or not it could eat electrum pieces, so
gold and silver mixed. So.
Julie give us a lesson on gold one time, how peasants would shave the gold coins and
that's
everything
right.
like that? Or is that you, Mike, that said that?
Yeah, and also they would, like you said, mix it with baser metals to make it go further. So yeah, unless it was a lead, then yeah, any other metals mixed with it, it would actually purify your gold for you. Isn't that nice?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
That is
pretty nice. I can see a money lender or money changer keeping one around. Here, let me see if these are any good. Throw them in the cage with the rust monster.
Now, wouldn't that make, if you have like a gold coin with like, say, metal mixed with it, wouldn't it make like a gold coin with a bunch of holes in it that are like rusty?
Possibly, yeah.
It depends on like
veins of rust going through it, perhaps.
Well, no. Remember, the rust monster eats the rust. That's what it eats.
Okay.
But if it's melded together, like it's not. You can't get the rust out because it's part of the.
Yeah, I'm talking about
a very small colander.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how it would work because Glenn said money, so I'm trying to work with his idea.
Yeah, like you would have like. I don't think it would work quite like that because it's
maybe the coin would fall apart.
Yeah, the coin would probably fall apart.
Probably. In like little shavings, but they would be pure gold.
That's why I said take it to like a jeweler or something.
There you go. Something to chew on.
Rust.
The enemy of all things, whatever. Let's go into Products of Your Imagination next.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
Where are the Cheetos?
They're right next to you.
Well, all you do is we play the characters we talked about earlier when we run around and stuff.
I want to show you a trick Mother showed me when you weren't around.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Dungeons & Dragons games. Products of your imagination.
You're not there. You're getting drunk.
So what do we have this week? Products of your imagination.
This week we'll
have... Don't everybody talk at once.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say something until I was so rudely interrupted, Glenn.
Wow.
Crispy's my buddy. Go ahead.
We here at WGPRN do not condone any actions by Crispy also.
Liz, what are we covering?
We're covering Home 77.
By Thoki.
Thoki.
That's his new name.
Thorky.
Sorry, Thorky. I wrote down Thoki in the notes. I was doing it fast. Leave me alone. So what can we say about Mr. Thork's, Professor Thork, as he's known in the OSR gaming, because he's now teaching people the OSR ways.
Teaching them how to learn.
I have to say, upon first look at this, because I don't know if there was an art version and a non-art version. Does anybody know if there was a difference?
I have a non-art version.
That's what I have as well. I don't know if maybe Thorky was selling an art version and giving away the non-art. I have to say it's very well edited and put together. It almost looks like as if it was written professionally. Well, not that he's unprofessional, but you know what I'm saying. It would be a TSR product.
A labor of love.
With a graphic arts department.
Well, he showed us a image of what he was wanting the cover to look like, and it's basically the blue book cover, only instead of Dungeons and Dragons across the top, it said, I believe, Holmes 77.
In fact, Sutherland cover?
Yes.
In fact, my copy has exactly that.
Oh, you have the one with the art?
Fancy.
Yes, and the front. Ooh. I can't remember if I did that or it came like that.
This, I have to say, I would print out, and I would bind it because it's that well put together.
Lulu, here we come.
Yeah, I liked the layout as well. I will say I love the Holmes edition. I like to play it a lot, but the Holmes 77 version that Thorky put together, it's much more intuitively laid out.
Yeah.
Things that belong together are together, as opposed to having to constantly flip back and forward within the rule book if you're not, you know, familiar with things to check on them. It's everything is, you know, pretty much all together so that you can find what you need quickly. It was very well done in that regard. I like that a lot.
Yep. And since Holmes was an improvement over original D&D's coherence and layout, that should tell you something.
Yeah. So you Holmes people here, yo Holmes, mm-hmm. What up?
Yo.
What's the difference between this and that other than the layout right away? What else stands out to you guys?
From what I remember, of course, it goes up to level 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big difference right there. That's a big difference.
Now, I have a question.
A great stopping point.
Yes, Mike?
I've got the work-in-progress version, not the final version.
That's what I have, too.
I have the final.
Did he include in the final version spells 1 through 3 for magic users? And levels 1 and 2 for clerics, or does it just pick up?
From
what I've heard, yes.
I'm looking through it right now.
What happened was he posted it, and then somebody pointed out he forgot those, and then he revised it and posted it again.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know if he had left them out because he was worried about a copyright issue, which seemed kind of weird considering everything else. But, okay. That was one of my few gripes about it is, you know, if you want to use it as a one-all, you need all the spells in it. But if the final version has all the spells, then that's cool.
It has, yeah. Well, I'm looking at them right now. It has fourth, all the way up.
Yeah, I really like your organization.
First, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think the Thorky one hit a jackpot here.
Yeah, he really went the extra mile on this thing.
If he gets some artwork in this, this would be a very good, not that it's not very good, but an excellent product.
Outstanding.
I would, some artwork in here, this would be the most, I would buy it. I'd buy it from Thorky.
Yeah, well, even without the artwork, you know, buying a hard copy through his Lulu site, very inexpensive. You know, if you're going to not buy it just because it doesn't have art, you know, it's not like he's asking $15 or anything for it. It's a very reasonably priced book.
I think it was $5 or something.
Yeah, yeah. So,
$5 for a PDF or for a
definitely worth it.
Hard copy.
For hard copy.
Wow. That is amazing. I actually think I will buy that.
Yeah.
He's doing a hard copy on this?
Yeah, you can get it from Lulu.
Yeah,
Press.
So wow. For $5, who needs art? Get it. You know?
Yeah.
Wow, sir.
I only have one gripe.
Uh-oh.
It's that.
All the classes have a D6 hit die.
He was explaining that in the forums. Why?
Yeah, I know.
One of the things I didn't still like don't as like well, it. But, like...
but that's easily house ruled.
Yeah.
Think we could talk him into doing a Moldvay cook like this?
Well, we already have. We have Labyrinth Lord.
I mean, like,
it's so good.
Well, okay. I just like the way. I just got so. Such a good old school feel. I thought, you know, if he could like put the two books together, and you know, okay, whatever.
So, all right, Glenn, first impressions and your rating.
First impressions, very well done, very well organized. I even enjoyed reading this, and I'm not really a Holmes person. I give it four dragons.
Okay, Crispy.
I'm also going to give it four dragons. I remember there were a few things that I didn't like, because I think it was... Like, I think it went a little bit closer to OD&D than I... Like, because Holmes to me had its own feel. But, like, I don't know. I do like it. Like, it's pretty good. I would play this.
Okay, the actual price for it is $6.80. Holmes 77, the book.
Okay.
For a hardcover?
Oh, no, it's a soft cover.
Oh. I don't, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, hardcover.
It's regular saddle stitch type.
Well, now, for $5, I would have gotten it, but that extra buck 80.
Shut up. Yeah, I don't know, yeah, man. That's going to break the bank.
And
plus shipping? Oh, boy.
What did you rate it, Crispy? Four?
Four.
Okay. And to get there, you would go to... you can actually just type World of Thorkhammer in Google, and it'll come right up. Or you can go to stores.lulu.com/World of Thorkhammer, one word, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth one on the list all the way down. You can download it for free, or you can buy an actual copy with the cover on it.
And that's Thorkhammer.
Yeah, what did I say?
Not Thorkhammer.
Not Thok.
No, it's Thork. Not Thorky.
Not Thok. No, I said Thork. Thorkhammer.
And no, you did.
All again, his other wonderful modules and prints he has here that we reviewed. He has, ooh, Hell House. There's Hell House there, too.
We got to review more stuff by him.
Yeah, he does a great job. He has puts a lot of labor and love into it, and he has a lot of talent, and people don't realize it because they don't look at this stuff. Because they're like, oh, another person's flooding the OSR market.
Mm-hmm.
And
get out of here. You're not Dragon Magazine.
Yeah, and he's had this conversation on there.
Thank you, Thurston.
Yes.
What is the purpose of this board again?
Yes.
Oops.
And he also has Classic 77 expanded rules here, too, for free.
That's right. And that's more of a companion to the book, the Brown Books, right?
Yeah
original.
Yes. But hey, you know, if you like the Brown Books, boom, there's another free supplement you can download by the Thork one. And check it out.
Yeah.
So there you go. So I'm going to rate it a 5 out of 5 because I love it. I'm not really a Holmes person, but after reading this, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Whoa, 2 5s in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shazam.
First Creature Catalog and now this. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Mike?
Have you been converted?
No.
To Holmes?
No, I have not.
You have not?
No.
You give it a 5 and you have not been converted?
No, I'm still pro Moldvay and Marsh.
You see, when Thorkhammer does Moldvay 81, then he'll be converted over.
Oh, if Thorky does Moldvay 81, I am definitely helping him with that project.
Going to put both books together, but then again, Crispy said there's Labyrinth Lord, which is the same.
Moldvay Cook. You could call it Mook. Mook 81. Like,
the reason why I think Holmes 77 is a great product is because there's not a Holmes retro clone.
Yeah, not yet.
Right. Uh-huh.
Well, now there is, so...
Mm-hmm.
I give it a 4.5.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And your impression
Mike's
of the book?
Rating something super high.
I know.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I really liked it. It would have been a 5.
Except
there's a couple of decisions, and they're easily house-ruled and fixed. Mm-hmm. I understand why he did them, and I respect why he did it the way he did it. I just don't like it.
You don't agree with it? No.
No, yeah, I mean,
to each
it's
their
certainly
own.
Valid, and I understand why, but just not for me. So only a 4.5.
So maybe if he added a page in here that said, if you don't like these rules here, some optional hit point rules, you would have maybe rated it a 5?
If he had given, optional hit dice and alternate weapon damage, yeah, I would have given it a 5. That could have been an extra page in the back.
Okay. Yeah. And now...
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, just a suggestion. And now, the moment we've all been waiting for, Thorky's love, Liz.
I'm sure this will come as no surprise to anyone, but I give it a 5.
Where were you last?
Like I said, very well laid out. Everything grouped together where you need it. I like how he extrapolated into, you know, the higher levels. It jives with a lot of what I would have done, just using the Brown books and taking and porting them over. As a matter of fact, that expansion for the Brown books, I think you could easily use a lot of those ideas as house rules for the Home 77 if there were things that you were, you know, not too happy with, like Mike, you know, with weapon damage and things like that. You know, there's stuff in there you could just plop in instead. I think it would work great. So, very well done. Definitely worth the $6.88.
Bravo, Thorky.
That Mike won't pay for. Yeah.
That's right.
Mike's cheap.
I didn't say I wouldn't. I just said I didn't know.
Well, she just goes in at night and takes it out of his wallet, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I got to find 3 pennies. And...
Look at the couch.
So overall, we're looking at a 4.5. Highly recommended. And I think I will put this on the front page as a support.
There yes.
We Since we don't actually have a Holmes, we don't have a Holmes clone on the front page.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need yes. one.
Sounds like a plan.
Thorky will give some free advertisement on our page.
Cool. As soon as we can find a clone of Metzer that isn't RC, we'll let you know, and you can put it up there, too.
That's Dark Dun. Well, that's...
I know what that's, you know. Yeah.
Isn't there a clone of Holmes? I mean, of Metzer?
That's the only one I know of is Dark Dungeons.
Dark Dungeons.
It's the only one I know of as well.
We don't even have a 2E clone yet, so
which I certainly must applaud with the name.
Yes.
And the use of Blackleaf as the example character.
Yes.
In Labyrinth Lord, there's a Dark Dungeon. Well, I'm hoping it's a Mazes and Monsters reference. You have Pardu the Holy Man.
Woohoo!
Who's the cleric that like is the example.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have enough points.
That looks like Tom Hanks, but refuses to admit he was in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Tom Hanks.
There was a clone of second edition, I thought.
There's Golden Glory, and then...
Well, Golden Glory
is... But they're not out yet. Neither one
of them are
exactly out. Yeah, they're
not. We're still waiting. Golden Glory is like in a preview stage where we're still waiting for the full game to come out.
And then the other one is called... Let me actually find it on here.
In fact, they gave out Golden Glory previews at Free RPG Day last week.
Oh, nice.
Did they?
That's what I heard.
Myth and Magic is the other one.
Yeah, that's it. Isn't that complete?
Yeah.
Magic?
The preview is out. I think it's still playtesting. Do you want Myth and Magic, Glenn?
If
Almost
you got
practically.
Yeah. Oh, wait. We'll talk after the show. I may have it on the disc here.
Anyway, that's going to end the show this week as we're going to head down that lonely highway of broken tears. As
all running from rust monsters.
I'm not. I'm riding on a rust monster.
Oh, Lord.
With the elf. With the
elf,
yes.
And I usually play a magic user, so I don't have anything to worry about either.
Oh, boy. Don't worry, we'll always reincarnate you if it kills you.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked in everything. How about that?
All right, folks, and as far as the contest winner, that'll be announced on a special show, because I know everybody's been waiting for that.
Yes.
We have our final winners, and we'll do that, and we'll have it out with this podcast as well.
It was a tough choice.
Let's see.
It was kind of a tough choice. It really was.
All right, so can you make the save? Save or Die podcast. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
If you have any comments, please email saveordiepodcast@gmail.com or visit saveordie at saveordie.info. Follow the cast on Facebook / saveordiepodcast or follow them on Twitter @theevildm.